Welcome to our midweek service. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and we're glad that you could worship with us this evening. And we'll be studying an interesting message from the Word of God, but first we'll begin with prayer request. So this evening we want to continue to pray for Ms. Lois, who is in the hospital, and she's having some serious medical problems, and pray for Joe. So Ms. Lois wants us to pray for healing, so we need to pray that God will heal her. And then we want to pray for Dee, who is still recovering at home, pray for Daniel, and pray for Wanda. We want to pray for Mark and Becky and John and Carolyn and Miss Dot and Miss Virginia and Leanne and Steve and Cindy and Johnny and my family, and just pray for everyone in our church. I want to remember to pray for Bob and Shirley and Miss Shirley Boyd and Jimmy and Jan and Clyde and Myrtle and Miss Kathy and Jeff and Christy and Roger and Carol and Vernette and Richard and Miss Elizabeth and Dennis and all the members of our church and all who come and join us and worship with us. We want to pray for all of them as they're at home during this time. We also want to pray for our reopening this Sunday. This is a big step. We haven't met together for, it's been about 8 weeks now, and a long time. And so we'll be getting back together this Sunday. We are going to be observing social distancing. We will be sanitizing the church. We'll have plenty of hand sanitizer available. Many of you will want to wear masks. You'll want to sit with your family and sit every other pew. So we want to be sure to leave 6 feet of distance between us. We are taking this seriously. And if you feel safer at home right now, just continue to listen online. We will continue to have the messages available with a few changes coming when we start doing the live services. This Saturday night, Johnny Coffey will be doing a new Saturday night Bible study. So instead of having Sunday school on Sunday morning that he's been doing, he'll have a Saturday night Bible study, and it'll be in a little bit different format, but we're looking forward to it. We're excited about it. So pray about that. And that will be at 6:15 this Saturday evening. And so we're excited about that. And Sunday morning, the message that I will be preaching from the book of Genesis at church will also be going live on Facebook in the format that we have been using previously. So what you're used to online, that'll be happening live on Facebook and on YouTube and on Sermon Audio. So pick whichever one you prefer. And if you're staying at home, you can listen to the sermon at 11 o'clock, a prayer request and the sermon, just like you've been doing. But we will be having church service at 11 as well. So if you feel safe coming out to that, please come out, and we'll be taking precautions to keep you safe. Well, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll pray for these requests and others, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in this Bible study time tonight. I do pray for all of our members. I pray for those who are homesick and those in the hospital. I pray for Miss Lois. We pray that you would heal her. We pray, if it's your will, that you would just heal her body and raise her up from this as she desires. And we do pray for Joe. We pray you comfort him and strengthen him during this time. We pray for all of our members, all of our shut-ins. We pray for Dee. We pray that you would give him strength and help him to be fully recovered and to bring him back with us to worship. We do pray for all of those who are home and sheltering in place, and we do pray that we would all be able to come back and worship together at Harmony. We pray for many churches that are already meeting and that are going to start meeting this Sunday, and we pray that you would just bless and keep the congregation safe and help us to follow guidelines that have been set out. We thank you for our governor allowing us to be able to have worship freely in these services, and we thank you that the churches are following the guidelines and trying to do what they should do to keep people safe. And so there's a balance there, and we thank you for that, and we pray that you just help us, Heavenly Father, to worship you and to get the gospel out. We pray you'd bless the online ministries of Harmony Baptist Church, and we pray you'd bless our Bible teachers as we teach this week. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Well, this Sunday we are going to be preaching the final message in our Hope series. We've done a Hope series, Bible messages on hope. We did something a little different last week. I thought there was a need to address the coronavirus and some of the things that are being said about churches and the coronavirus and some of the things that are going on. And the main emphasis of last week's message is that the coronavirus is a time for churches to emphasize getting the gospel out online, and that we don't need to be distracted. I believe that when this started, people were focused on let's preach and let's reach people for the gospel. And now I believe that that was effective. And so the devil has begun to distract people and get people off course. And we as Christians, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was under persecution. And the early church was under Roman persecution. And you know what they did? They preached the gospel. That's what they did. And they saw the church grow mightily under persecution. And some places may have risen to the level of persecution. Certainly that hasn't happened in the state of Georgia. But even when we're inconvenienced by some of these rules and some of the things that are going on, even in our own state, we need to remember that our emphasis should be to get the gospel out, to be a good testimony before the lost and before people who may be scared during this time, and to share the gospel with our neighbor. So that was the emphasis last week in last week's message, and I hope if you haven't heard that, that you'll go back and listen to it. It's called Christians and COVID-19. Now this week's message is entitled Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Jesus Christ, the Son of David. And our text verse is from Matthew 1:1, which says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham." As we read the Bible, there are several things that are crystal clear. God created the world. The Bible is God's Word. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. I could go on and on listing things that make the Bible, that the Bible makes plain. Among those things is this fact: Jesus Christ is the Son of David. Matthew 1:1 says, "The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham." Now, the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of David is extremely important. It was immensely important to the Jewish people. It was vital because of a promise that God had made to David, the great Jewish king who ruled over Israel about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem. God had promised David that his descendant would sit on his throne and rule Israel forever. Psalm 132:11, the Bible says, "The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, and will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne." God's promise was clear. 2 Samuel 7:13, "He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." That was a promise made to David. His descendant would sit on his throne forever. The Jewish people understood the prophecies of the Old Testament to teach that the Messiah, Christ, would be one of David's descendants and that he would carry on David's kingdom. I cannot tell you how important it was and is that Jesus Christ is the son of David. If Jesus were not David's son, and the Bible uses son in this way to mean descendant, if Jesus Christ were not his descendant, then he would not have fulfilled the prophecies. When Christ came, he absolutely had to be a descendant of David. Now, as we study through the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, we find that the very first verse of this first book states emphatically that Jesus Christ is David's son. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew records Jesus' genealogy from Joseph, Mary's husband. Although Joseph was not his real father, God was, Joseph was Jesus' father by Jewish law. The Bible says in Matthew 1:20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Joseph was a son of David, and as the king's descendant, he gave legal standing to Jesus as David's son under Jewish law. Luke gives us Jesus' family history through his mother, Mary, who was also a descendant of David. Jesus Christ is both physically and legally the son of David. He fits the prophesied description of the Messiah flawlessly. Now, as we read through the book of Matthew and study this subject, notice all the people who knew that Jesus Christ was the son of David. And first of all, we'll see that the blind knew it. Matthew 9:27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us." We also notice that crowds of people knew it. Matthew 12:23. "And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" We also see that a Gentile, a non-Jewish woman, knew it. Matthew 15:22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Now here's a woman who was not a Jew, but she knew that Jesus Christ was the son of David. He could have just said, or she could have just said rather, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." But she realized that it was important that Christ was David's son. Now again, the blind knew it. Matthew 20:30. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." We also see that the multitudes knew it. Matthew 21:9. "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Hosanna in the highest. As Jesus went towards Jerusalem, the multitudes of people who walked before him and behind him were crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The word Hosanna as we studied on Palm Sunday, means save us now. They wanted David's son to save them and to do it immediately. They were not asking Jesus to save their souls from hell, though. They were asking him to save them from the Roman Empire. The Roman military occupied the Holy Land, and the people expected the Son of David to do something about it. Save now, they shouted. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ will set up a kingdom one day, and he'll rule the earth from Jerusalem. But Jesus did not come the first time to set up a physical kingdom, where he would overthrow the armies and corrupt politicians and bring perfect government to mankind. No, he came to die for our sins, to be buried, and to rise again. They wanted Jesus to save them from the immediate threat of Rome, but he came the first time to save them from the eternal threat of hell. Many people are like these ancient Israelites. They trust Jesus Christ for their immediate, but not for the eternal. When they're sick, they ask Jesus to heal them and trust him to do it. When they're in financial trouble, they call on Jesus. But when it comes to eternity, they cannot say for sure that they'll go to heaven when they die. Jesus Christ promised to give everlasting life to everyone who believes in him for it. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If a person really believes in Jesus Christ, he will believe Jesus' words. I know that I'll go to heaven when I die, not because I'm a preacher or a good person or any of that, but because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe he died for my sins on the cross, and I believe that he rose from the dead, and he promises that I have eternal life and that I will never perish in hell. You can trust in Jesus Christ all day long for health and healing and happiness and wealth, but until you believe in Jesus' promise that you have eternal life and will never perish in hell because you put your faith in him, until you believe in that promise, you are like the passengers on the Titanic who thought that the ship would never sink. It didn't matter what they believed or what they were told. It still sank to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, where it remains today. You may make yourself feel better by saying, "I believe in Jesus Christ." But do you believe? Are you absolutely sure that you will go to heaven when you die? Hope so is not good enough. You must believe in Jesus Christ as your eternal Savior, not just a temporary help. Now we're going to look at the religious hypocrites. Matthew 21:15, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." There are two interesting things about this verse. One is the fact that the religious leaders of Jesus' day were unhappy with the people's response to him. They weren't worried about the truth. They were worried that Jesus would upset everything and that they would lose their power and positions. And if you want to examine that, look in John 11, verses 47 through 48. Of course, later they stirred up the people to have Jesus crucified. The other interesting thing is that even the children were crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Everyone knew that Jesus Christ was David's son, except the religious hypocrites who didn't want to believe it. Whose son is he anyway? Whose son is he anyway? In Matthew 22, Jesus spoke to the religious leaders in Jerusalem and asked the question, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Now, of course, we all know the answer to that. So did they. They say unto him, "The son of David," Matthew 22:42. Now, look very carefully at Jesus' response to them. And this is in verses 43 through 46. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David didn't call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now that's an interesting question, isn't it? If David called Christ Lord, a superior, then how can he be David's son? It's fascinating that not just in the book of Matthew, but also in Mark, the same thing is repeated. Jesus Christ is called the son of David. But in Mark 12:37, Jesus asks, David therefore calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is referred to as the son of David. But in Luke 20:44, the Bible says, David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? How can Jesus Christ be both the Lord of David and the son of David at the same time? For the answer, we'll look in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. So the Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1, 1 through 5. The word Word in these verses is another name for Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was in the beginning. In the beginning of all things, He already existed. Now the Bible tells us that in the beginning, He was with God and was God. This leads us into the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. God is one God existing in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you don't completely understand that, don't worry, neither do I. If we could fully understand everything about God, then He wouldn't be much of a God, would He? One way to illustrate the concept of the Trinity is by using the example of water. If water's frozen, then it becomes ice. If it melts, it's water. If it's heated to a certain point, it becomes steam. Water, steam, and ice are all H2O, three in one. Another illustration that's been given is of a triangle. A triangle has three sides, three points, and yet it's one triangle. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. So in the beginning of all things, Jesus Christ was God and with God because He is three in one. Now Jesus has always existed because God is eternal. That's why David was able to call Him Lord back in the Old Testament. But the Bible goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh. This is verse 14 of John 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there was a point in time at which the Word was made flesh. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. There was a day when Jesus Christ, the eternal God, became like us. He became a man. Jesus did that without ceasing to be God. In His human body, He still accepted worship as God because He never stopped being God when He became a man. Notice this conversation between Jesus and one of His disciples named Thomas after He rose from the dead. This is John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So Thomas called Jesus my Lord and my God because Jesus is God. But Thomas could also feel the nail prints in his hands because Jesus is man as well. Now the mystery's solved. David called Jesus Lord because he is Lord. But he is also the son of David because he became a man. This seeming contradiction becomes a wonderful truth for us. As a man, Jesus Christ can understand what we're going through and the problems we face. He can weep with us when we suffer loneliness, loss, or sorrow. He knows what it is to lose a friend because he wept at the grave of his friend, Lazarus. As a man, Jesus can sympathize with us. But as God, he is all powerful, able to help us, hear us, and answer our prayers. As man, Jesus Christ can understand what it is to be tempted to sin because he was tempted. He did not sin, but he was tempted just like we are. As man, he can understand, but as God, he is able to forgive our sins and save our souls from hell. I go to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going through some struggles in my life. I feel like giving up. I need hope. Can you understand? Yes, child, I can understand. I'm a man also, and I've been through trials myself. On the way to the cross, I was afraid and prayed that the cup of sufferings could pass from me. I know the struggles you're facing. I can help you. Yes, Jesus, I know that you understand because you're a man like me, but what can you do to help me? Child, I'm not only a man, I'm also God. Jesus, you are God. You're up in heaven, and I'm down here on earth. Can you really sympathize with me? It seems like it's so hard to serve you. I try, but I need your help. Can you hear me? Do you understand? Child, I'm not only God, the Lord of all. I'm also a man. I can empathize with you because I'm made of flesh and bone just like you. That's a wonderful truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but He's also the Son of David. Whatever you're going through today, David's Son is there, able to sympathize with you and to be a friend. God's Son is there too. He is able to help you with divine power. He can answer prayer, forgive sins, give healing, strength, and hope. Whatever the situation may be in your own life, you can be sure that you have a friend who is bigger than your biggest challenge. You have the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So in summary, as a man, Jesus Christ can understand what you're going through. As God, He can help you through it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you that you are the Son of David and the Son of God. We praise your name for that, Lord Jesus Christ. We know you were in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We thank you that you understand what we're going through, but that you're all powerful, able to help us. And we do pray that you would help us today. We pray you'd help us to get through this week. We pray you give grace where grace is needed. We pray you would keep us safe as we come back to church. It's a nervous time for me and for a lot of people. And we do pray that you just give us strength and confidence. And we pray you would help us through this thing, through all these economic challenges that a lot of folks are facing, through all these social changes. We pray that you would just help us. We pray that you would heal and give comfort. We ask it in your strong name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to us today. And I do pray, or I do ask, that you keep the church in prayer as we open back up this upcoming Sunday. This is a nervous time for a lot of people. And we just pray that you give us confidence and strength and that you protect us and keep us healthy. And we pray for those who are sick and those who need your touch. And we just pray that you would bless. We ask you. I keep praying to God and also asking you to pray, and that's okay. But we ask that you would pray, and we also pray to the Lord that those who are sick would receive God's touch according to his will this week. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we pray that that you would ask as well in your own private devotions and prayers. Hope you have a great week, and we will see you this Sunday. God bless.